To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Tour set, pop. Yourself, I pass the night off.
Borahey, Iconic Army.
Bora, hey.
We have got to talk about BTS in the cover of the GQ magazine with the article going along with it, BTS Begins Again. This was so exciting to have a whole cover and then this massive article written about BTS as they are preparing to come back post-military. Just a few things that we really want to talk about that stood out to us. I love the part where RM was talking about what their days looked like as they were creating the album, like getting up at 6 a.m., going to the gym together, you know, going home for lunch, going to the studio at by 1 until 8 p.m. I just felt like it really paralleled, and the author pointed this out too, it paralleled their debut days and like trainee days when they all lived in a dorm together. And she talked about how it inadvertently recreated their old days while they were working in these music camps and living in the same space. And it just made me really nostalgic. I've been thinking about this next album for BTS as almost being like a second debut for them since it has been so long. And I just love that that parallel was drawn because of that. The article was quite lengthy, which I appreciated. It being a feature piece of this magazine, I felt like the article did a really great job of recapping all of their history and their impact as a group, and then it dived into a bit of each of their solo journeys and their military service and now what they're preparing for with their new album. I thought it was really all-encompassing.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done, and I love that you also pointed out and really enjoyed the fact that like she paralleled their old days and their like song camp experience in LA and how they basically reconstructed that like inadvertently with the same format. Like how cool. Like I had not thought about it in the lens of this is like a second debut for them, and their debut was such a critical moment in time. I mean, how memorable that part of their growth as a group, just like right before they were about to debut, and then now they're like working so hard to have this next comeback after this time frame. Like it really does feel like a debut,
yeah,
which is crazy. Like it's more than a comeback, right?
Right.
But yeah, the article was fantastic. Something else that she pointed out in the article was that BTS's journey and just how it kind of compares to some other pop stars and other pop groups. She compared like the excitement of Elvis Presley returning after military service to that of BTS's return post-military. Again, like I vaguely kind of remember that Elvis Presley had to serve too. And when he came back, that, you know, the girls were going crazy and everything for him. And it really does parallel a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She also drew parallels to Beatles and Beatles mania, which I love any time that someone in bigger media talks about that, because I feel like we have talked about that for like seven years about this parallel between BTS and the Beatles and like the excitement around them. Something that to me was really monumental is that never has any group ever, boy group, girl group, whatever, separated and created music on their own and then come back together to make music once again. Every other group who's tried to, like, you know, one or two artists break off to do solo time, or they've had to take a break because of, you know, X, Y, and Z reason, when they've done this, they have not been able to successfully reunite. So the fact that BTS are doing it, I think, is another historic thing for them. And I think another reason why I feel like this is another debut for them. When they first debuted in 2013, you know, all of that work 2011 to 2012 up leading up to debut, they were learning how to be a group, you know, coming together as individuals and how to make a cohesive group. And now, once again, they've done all of this individual work. Three of the members have done their own solo tours. They've all put out one or two solo albums in this time, and now they're figuring out how to come back together again as a cohesive group. And I just think that's so unique and so special and something to be so proud of, that they are making this, you know, like they made this commitment, and not only that they committed to it, but they want to. They want to be a group again.
Yeah. Man, that's a really excellent point. Really, truly. They kind of talk about this too in the interview with GQ, of just like how they grew so much as individual artists over this last, you know, couple years while they've been serving in the military, and how coming back together, they're all still such brothers and that they're so happy to be back together. But just noting that even though they enjoyed that separate time, they also really prioritize and enjoy BTS as a group overall, like the most.
Yeah.
Which is really good to hear. Like you were saying, like it's just when they were about to go into military service, there was a lot of, and this was coming from the media a lot too, there was a lot of speculation of, are they going to come back together, like after all this solo work? Like it kind of seems like it's a band curse or something, that once solo work gets introduced, they just, the group cohesion just breaks apart. Mm-hmm. And that just, again, is not BTS. BTS continuously is showing us how different they are, how unique they are, and that they just don't meet the norm and the standard, I feel like. And so it's huge that they're coming back. It really should be called their second debut because, yeah, they're back as a group and they're about to blow our minds with this album, you know?
Yeah. A few quotes from the band members that stood out to me with what you were just talking about is Taeyang said, "We all treasure BTS more than we treasure each one of us separately. We debuted as a group, so I think that's the core identity we have." And then Yoongi later on said, "If we can keep this going, then maybe we can be dancing in our 60s. As long as we're willing, I think maybe into our 50s, into our 60s, we can always be together as a band." And mm-hmm. this is not, like, both of these things are not new sentiments. Like, we have heard these from BTS before, but we haven't mm-hmm. heard them from BTS since, you know, pre that Festa dinner and, you know, mm-hmm. hiatus and military service. And to hear it anew right now, I think is so powerful and so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So let's talk a little bit about these photos. We have to talk about, like, one of the very first photos that you see in the GQ magazine, and it's all seven of them. And oh my gosh, I have to say, like, a lot of ARMYs have been pointing this out. We've had, like, solo shots, solo GQ covers of some of the BTS members, but now we have all seven of them. Like, it's OT7 again, and they're all sitting at kind of like a head table, yeah, long, like a table, press conference table.
Yeah.
Yes. And every single one of them has their own mic, and it is very reminiscent of Mic Drop, like when they're all sitting in that music video in a line like that. It also reminds me of Dionysus. I feel like Map of the Soul 7, they had a lot of photos like this too, where they were all sitting in this like press conference kind of style. And it's just really impactful because Namjoon, the leader, is right in the middle of everyone, and he's looking right at the camera, whereas like all the other members are like turned to each other and like chit-chatting together. And
yeah,
it looks like they are getting ideas from each other, just like listening and being attentive. Yes.
This also, it's like powerful. The format of each of the other members kind of being in their own conversations or, you know, things going on, and RM being front and center, just staring right at the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the composition is very Renaissance photo. Like, this could be painted, yes, in acrylic and could be in a museum where people are like studying each individual member and like what they're supposed to be conveying.
Yes.
This is so interesting. It's
giving Renaissance art.
Yes.
Yes. The style of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. This article had so many great photos. Like, another really awesome photo we got, I just thought it was fun. We see like Jimin and RM playing ping pong, like just mm-hmm. hanging out. You know, I'm like a sucker for Minimani pairing anytime. And I don't know, I just love it. I love that we get to see them do this.
I love seeing that too.
Yeah.
I love all of the OT7 shots too. There's a really great shot of all of them on a set of stairs. It kind of looks like stairs that would go up to either a trailer or where they would be like getting ready in a studio or something like that.
Yeah.
It looks very like movie set, production set, and they are stunning. Like, the lighting around them is kind of dark, and then there's a flash on all of them and they're looking right at us, and it is so model-esque. Yoongi looks fantastic. Jin is just like smoldering look. Jungkook looks so cool, like kind of like leaning against the rail. Mm-hmm. Taeyang, don't even get me started in this red sweater. I think he's peacocking in this with this red sweater. But yeah, and J-Hope in this pantsuit, and Jimin too. Like,
I mean, they're glamour all
shot. They glamour
are,
shot.
It's like it's hard to know who to look at here. They're all mm-hmm. like, they're serving so much face. It's just like, it's kind of overwhelming to see this shot, you know, of all of them. And it's like one of those, you need to break it down. You need to spend time looking at each person.
It's a glamour shot of OT7 all in one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to know where to look.
Goddamn, this picture is just too much. And they all look so good.
Yeah,
Another photo that I really loved was the solo shot of Jungkook. It kind of looks like he's kind of reclining back in a chair, and he has his hand up, you know, kind of resting on his face. And you get to see his whole sleeve and, you know, kind of like, it's rare that we get up close shots of his tattoos. But what stood out to me is like that
and
BTS.
His lip ring.
And his lip ring.
Sorry,
the
don't
lip ring is
that.
Still here. But the BTS symbol on his hand and the army symbol, you know, I just love that that's kind of like on display with his hand up by his face. Like, you're going to look right at his face. You're going to see that the lip ring is everything, the stare he's giving us, and he's wearing this suit, like his waist looks so good. I mean, he just,
his waist is snatched.
So I mean, absolutely, very much appreciated this Jungkook shot.
One of the other like two member shots that is so iconic that everyone was talking about was the Jin and Jungkook on the couch, slouched down. Both of them have like their right arm up overhead where they're kind of like leaning back, resting their head on their hand. Ooh, I just, this pair, like Jin and Jungkook, they just, they are so brotherly, like big brother, little brother energy. And to see them like this, like slouching on this couch, like the pose is a bit provocative.
It's so hot. Like, this shot is so diabolical to have. I think this is like one that wrecks me the most because like it is so suggestive.
They're both manspreading too. Yeah. Like it's just, yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It, yeah.
It's, yeah. It's a lot to take into.
I love the solo shot of Yoongi with the guitar and like his bangs falling over his face. It's just, it's giving like play the acoustic version of Seesaw on tour. It's perfect.
Yes. Yes. He looks so soft and also just a little retro-y too, I feel like, with the guitar that he's holding in the jacket.
Oh, yeah.
And then, again, check out all the OT7 shots because they look great. One of them, there's like the shot is from up above and they're down on this lower level. Like some of them are hanging out on those stairs where it kind of looks like production, like concert set type situation. But it, to me, the shot is giving like the Louis Vuitton fashion show that
I was
thinking
in. The same thing.
Yes. They're just like looking up at us.
Which is just, I mean, it's working for each one of, again, this is one, like, you really need to study every member. Oh, my God. Like, Jungkook is, like, a like not, like, aggressively glaring, but just the look on his eyes, you know, you can kind of see, like, his eye whites at the bottom. That's, Anyways. And
J-Hope is holding his belt.
Stop.
Looking up at you.
Taeyong has his arms crossed. Like, he's, like, you know?
Unapproachable.
Yeah. RM also looks very unapproachable. Jin is just handsome as hell standing at the top of those stairs. Yoongi like coolly leaning against the wall.
Yeah. Jin has this like long red ascot on his neck. Is it a scarf?
I think it's part of the
scarf.
I think it's part of the shirt.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I love that he has that pop of red because it goes along with Taeyong's pop of red.
Yes.
Yeah.
The color scheme, it all goes really well.
It works super well. Yeah. I mean, these were great photos by GQ. And of course, we live for the OT7 photos. They are phenomenal. But if you haven't gone and read this article yet, go read it. We'll link it in the description. It is so, so good and very enjoyable. Recapping all of the amazing things about BTS and also all of these wonderful, lovely photos of them. But we still have so much to talk about today, including everything going on with the What Is Your Love Song. So we'll be right back with that. Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. Like Kayla was saying, we are going to be talking about the What Is Your Love Song promotions that they've been doing for Arirang. We're going to get into all of the playlists, all of the events that kind of been going on, and just some of our theories around possible hints at the album or the title track and such. So excited for this episode.
Yes.
Lots of theories.
So much to dive into. Before we do, we want to say thanks, Iconics, for being here and for all of your support. If you'd like to support us even further, then consider checking out our Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Yes. Thanks for being here, for all of your support, and of course, for listening.
Okay, so let's talk about this What Is Your Love Song, the promos that have been going on. The first thing that started happening was buildings in Seoul, London, and New York popped up, covered in designs that looked like giant red and white tape that had the words, in all caps, What Is Your Love Song. This immediately, I mean, it looks similar to the Arirang like logo that we have, and obviously we knew it was connected to BTS. Immediately built speculation that the Arirang album has themes of love, and fans started to get excited about this global and super public promo. Soon after that, a 6-song album dropped on Spotify with the title What Is Your Love Song, and then there's voting options where you can vote. I believe the voting closes on 2/18, but every day you can vote for one topic. But all of the songs were just dead air, no actual music. There were 6 songs and 6 different types of love. So it was self-love, fandom love, romantic love, healing love, unrequited love, and nostalgic love. So every day on Spotify, you can go in and be like, what is my love song? I'm going to vote for fandom love or healing love. You only get 1 vote a day. And so people are kind of sharing or talking about which one they were voting for and speculating what is the purpose of this now too. Don't know if this is of note at all, but each of those dead air quote unquote songs were 58 seconds long. Just like, why 58, you know, why not 1 minute exactly or something? But just another interesting aspect to the promo.
Yes, like why 58 seconds? Why not 60 seconds? You know, exactly 1 minute. It's just kind of an interesting take. Also, I remember when this first dropped, my sister was like, is this the album? Like, are these the titles of the songs?
Yeah.
Like, no way. No way. But I do love that it's just showing the different types of love that can be represented in a love song. We talk about this a lot in our album reviews when we go over any kind of music from BTS that's talking about love. We try to apply it in other ways because you can apply it to self-love or romantic love and such. So I'm kind of excited about nostalgic love. That's where my vote is going towards.
Oh, I love. I'm really excited about healing love. And I feel like in so many, like in all of BTS's music, we have gotten these different types of love before. I'm just excited to see where they take this direction, or you know, what they're gonna do with it, or is every you know, are different songs on the album gonna represent these different types of love? Are they gonna have just like one big love song that, because of like the lyrics and like the themes, you could apply it to all these different types of love? These are kind
maybe
of
they had all of these types of love in mind when they wrote a love song,
right?
They created like the hit track as a love song, and it just all of them shared these types of different love in it. I don't know. Very cool.
We'll see.
So shortly after that, then there was a What Is Your Love Song radio, which ended up being a silent playlist with some BTS tracks in it. But it was a playlist specialized for you. Like Kayla's playlist was different from my playlist. And all of the songs were totally random. And it was either they were just like completely quiet, or there was a high frequency pitch that you could hear like a certain amount of hertz or whatever. But there were some BTS songs that were scattered in there. And then from my playlist in particular, there was Arirang was on it, which I thought was just so bizarre, because some of the like BTS songs, like obviously I've like listened to before, but Arirang was not silent. And I'm not like, I haven't been going and listening to Arirang on Spotify
like versions
or anything.
Of it.
So, yes. So this, the version that popped up for me was by Ma Hyeryong, and I was just totally surprised. It was a gorgeous version of Arirang, and I was super happy to see it on my playlist. But I was like, oh my god, it's not silent, but it's not a BTS song. Like, it was just so interesting. So this kind of confirmed to me that like BTS is definitely up to something with this. Like, I surely could not have been the only ARMY who had Arirang pop up on this silent, otherwise silent playlist. It was so bizarre.
And like the only songs that weren't silent was this song and the BTS songs. And all the other ones, even if they had a name or they were titled as an instrumental, they seemed like they should have music, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bethany said, the playlists were kind of tailored, and it was interesting because I don't use Spotify. I use Apple Music, but I had to like re-download and log into Spotify just to go look at this because I clicked on your link that you texted me, and it took me to this What Is Your Love Song radio. And same type of thing, it made me a radio, and it had like a piano version of Arirang that was really beautiful, had a handful of BTS songs, but different ones than Bethany had, and then just a ton of dead air or like silent songs from Korean artists or like Spanish titled instrumentals, like instrumentals that all had Spanish titles. And for me, maybe it's just because it personalized that to me, not that I could say I listen to Spanish music on Spotify. You know, I have on Apple Music, but like I really don't use Spotify. So it was just coming up so much that it made me wonder if the album will have some Latin flair. Like, why would those songs be there if this radio was curated like by BTS to have these songs? When we went back again yesterday doing research, first of all, I want to say Bethany was re-listening to her Arirang that was on her playlist, and she was so lost in it and in its beauty that she forgot we were FaceTiming, and she looked up and she was like, oh.
I was literally listening to it, and it wasn't until the song was starting to fade out that I was like, oh shit, I haven't said anything for like minutes on end. And I look over and I'm like,
it's been like 3 minutes. She's just like typing notes and just like, you know, vibing with the song, which I thought, honestly, first of all, it was a little bit funny. But second, I just thought that was beautiful that you were so absorbed by this song that, you know, you were lost in it. When I looked back at my playlist today, I noticed that all of the silent Spanish songs were by this artist called Diosas Ley de Asunción, which is like goddesses of the law of assumption. And they specifically only make silent songs, and you're just supposed to kind of like manifest while listening to the song, except for you're not really listening to anything because I went to their actual page and like literally all their songs are silent. So I do think it was BTS's intention to put silent songs on these playlists, and whether there's any rhyme or reason to why this specific artist kept coming up. But I was like, why is the law of assumption coming up here if you don't like if you haven't heard of it, the law of assumption is an idea that whatever you believe to be true becomes your reality. So like, if you believe that, you know, everybody hates you and, you know, like that's a self-fulfilling prophecy, basically.
It's like that law of attraction. BTS are not,
it's akin to the law of attraction too. But BTS are not strangers to getting into philosophy in their music. So I was like, is this like artist and being called this intentionally put on this radio to make that connection, to have that little Easter egg that maybe they're gonna dabble in some law of assumption, law of attraction, you know, stuff like that, especially if we're talking about love.
Yeah, like,
you
a
know?
Red string and, theory kind of
Red string theory. So, and I don't know, the Latin flair sticks out to me too, because like Jimin did a little bit of like Latin with like his filter song, and they had a little bit of Latin with like Airplane Part 2. But the members have, like RM and Yoongi have talked about, that this album is going to sound different than their other ones. And I think that putting more of that flair in there, like a Latin flair, would go in that direction.
So too,
but what was interesting is that if you try to look at this play, this What Is Your Love Song radio now, post Valentine's Day, this radio became a personal mix of love songs and are no longer silent. However, there are still a few songs on there that remain silent. So very sticking out to us a lot.
It's so interesting. It's really fascinating. And I think it's just so clever how they're going about promoting this album and this like very unique, get you thinking, wheels turning, why this? In the way that they're doing it, you know, like, why after Valentine's Day do we now have a personalized mix of different songs that are no longer silent, but some are still silent? Yeah, it's fascinating. I love it. I've been all about it. Arirang was still on my my radio mix, but a different version after, you know, from the very first one with all the quiet tracks. It's just so interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so then next there was What Is Your Love Song playlist that popped up on Valentine's Day, and or after Valentine's Day also, and it was potentially comprised of songs from ARMY all over the world from what people had voted on or submitted as their favorite song. So there was like this whole like submission that you could do. And basically, it was like you went to Hive's website. I think I'm jumping ahead here, Kayla. Sorry.
No, yeah, that's fine.
But I feel
fine.
Like we just have to explain it. So on Hive's website, they had like a submit your love song. And so ARMY could go in, you filled out your information, and you just put what your favorite love song was. And so it was kind of shortly after this that they released the What Is Your Love Song playlist after Valentine's Day. And like, our theory is that potentially this list of songs, because it's just a bunch of random, like, popular love songs, some of them not so popular, some of them more Korean, some of them are, like, Western artists. So, but it was just curious to see, like, people, I wonder if it was, like, the submissions that people had put in, and then they comprised, like, some of the top yeah. submitted love songs onto one playlist.
Because they really felt... seemed like from all over mm-hmm. the world, and like kind of different eras and some different genres. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's like a good theory too. Yeah. Especially like, why else are we submitting mm-hmm. that? The, you know, what is your love song if not to create this playlist?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, maybe get some of our information. You had to put your email and your name.
That's true. You did have to put yeah. your email in, and they were like, here's the BTS shop, by the way.
Here's the BTS shop. Yeah, that's where the link was located. Yeah. But it was just cool to see this playlist pop up. And what I really appreciated about this playlist, too, that I thought was interesting was they had a description on the playlist that said, quote, someone is still curious about your love song theme. And then it was also written in Korean after that. Well, I'm kind of assuming it was written in Korean after that, like just like translated into Korean.
Yeah, we translated
oh, did we?
It.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But what I like about that is that obviously that someone who is still curious is BTS, and love song was capitalized, which has to be intentional. So it comes off like it's a title. Like, is it a title of their hit track? What is, you know, like right. that might be too obvious or too simple, but I do find that like love song being capitalized is showing that like it has a significance. And then also that it says theme too, like no longer are we talking about just like what's your favorite love song, what's your love song theme, which kind of reverted back to the original EP album of like, you know, the nostalgic love, the healing love, like which theme of love or type of love song do you want to vote for? Like which one are you most looking forward to or connect to? So yeah, just right. really interesting stuff. Like I feel like it's been very thought provoking.
The capital love mm-hmm. song like really stands out to me. Like if the hit track or like I feel like BTS could do a pre-release single, if that is not titled love song, then it's clearly going to, like, to me at this point, it's going to be love related. Mm-hmm. It's gonna, like, the main theme of it is going to be love. And right now the title capitalized love song is kind of like a placeholder for mm-hmm. it. Most recently, like yesterday, as of recording this episode, BTS posted their own love song playlist for each member on YouTube titled like Jungkook's Love Song Selections or, you know, Suga's Love Song Selections. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, a This Is My Love Song billboard went up at Times Square, potentially, again, to me, like hinting at a hit track title or a pre-release single title, or that could just be promoting these new playlists on mm-hmm. YouTube, because at the end of it, the billboard said like YouTube BTS at the bottom. But for that billboard promo, This Is My Love Song was all in caps. So like that could be the whole title mm-hmm. of a hit track mm-hmm. or, you know, it could be like as if a member is quoted saying like, this is my love song or this is our love mm-hmm. song, hinting at the actual song that they will come out with. So we just wanted to talk a little bit about each of the members' love song selections that they went with, because they're all different. They're all unique. We feel like they all reflect their personal music style a little bit. I feel
like they really made this playlist. Like, each member made their own playlist.
I think so.
And it is such a, like, interesting way to look into their lives, because we all have so many love songs that are, like, near and dear to our hearts that have, like, gotten us through hard relationships, or relationships that didn't work out, or relationships that are still, like, you know, so blissful and happy, and, you know, so many different types of love. So I just feel like they're very personal to be sharing these songs with us.
We also feel like throughout all of their playlists, at first we were wondering, did each member make a playlist with one of those EP ideas in mind, like self-love, nostalgic love, fandom love, whatever. But as we dug into more of them, we felt like multiple types of love are represented on each one of their playlists. For example, on RM's playlist, not only does it have a variety of genres, but I do feel like there's some, like, healing love. Like, there's Fix You by Coldplay. There's, like, romantic love, like Love by Kendrick Lamar. There's, I feel like, a fandom love song, We're All in This Together, from High School Musical.
That, like, being on RM's, like, playlist makes me feel like, you know, coming back together as a group, he's like, listen, we are all in this together. Like, I just feel like it's
maybe some nostalgia in there.
Be nostalgia in there, absolutely. Yeah. But I just love the idea, the picture of Namjoon being inspired by We're All in This Together and his, like, leadership
Me
role.
Me too. I think it's so funny. He also has, of course, he has Wildflower on here, which is all about self-love. And then I also just have to point out, he has a song by Epic High in here, and we know he loves Epic High. Love by Epic High, which I think gives credence to that they made these playlists as individuals. That it wasn't just,
he has,
like,
Anderson .Paak in there too, which I think is also very telling.
Very much so. For sure.
Yeah, Jin's playlist, he's got Die With a Smile by Lady Gaga, which some of the other members also put that on there. Like, I'm pretty sure Jungkook did.
Yeah.
Maybe someone else. But I can just appreciate Jin so much for the self-love of putting Super Tuna on his own playlist. Like, who else? I also really appreciate that he put a lot of Korean music on here, too. Like, I just feel like he is, like, Korean sweetheart, you know, worldwide handsome, and it just, I think, is very telling for him to have just that. And then also Windy, like, he collaborated with Windy on his album, so to see Windy's, like, Water on here. And then also Coldplay, of course, Everglow by Coldplay is on here too. Again, like, I know that they made these playlists. They actually made these playlists for themselves.
Oh, yeah. Like, on Yoongi's playlist, he has, immediately what stuck out is Flowers by Miley Cyrus, and then, like, Mr. Brightside. I was like, oh, this is some, this is self-love right here. He has his own song from D2, People, which I think is such a great song for that kind of, like, connection love and, like, you know, like, not maybe fandom love, but it's just a different kind of love for yourself and for others. He has his own First Love on here from the Wings album, definitely giving that nostalgic love. A random song for me that I wouldn't necessarily expect from Yoongi is Let Her Go by Passenger. That one, that's, first of all, that's such a millennial song. And second of all, like, I mean, we all know it, right? We grew up with it.
It's very telling that BTS are our age. Like, they are literally our age. So, like, these songs were like,
I know that one.
Grew up with that song.
But that's like a, you know, like an unrequited love, or, you know, I really love his playlist. Like, it makes me want to listen to it.
I love that he has Boy With Love with Halsey, and he has 8 with IU.
Because
just, like, two legendary collaborations that I associate so much with Yoongi. I was just thinking about this, like, Boy With Love is a little bit of a healing love kind of song. Like a matured version of themselves. Let's talk about J-Hope's. I was a little surprised to see Love Story by Taylor Swift on J-Hope's, but I guess it kind of makes sense, because I do think that he is just really with the times in terms of just like modern music. And
I think he loves
big pop music right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pop music. He's got SZA on here, which makes so much sense. Adore You by Harry Styles.
Such a good song.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's got his own music on here too. So Sweet Dreams is on here. I love that he put Trivia Just Dance, like, absolutely.
And he put Spring Day.
Yeah, he put Spring Day too. He also, we were talking about millennial songs, he put A Thousand Years by Christina Perry, which is, ooh, that is a heavy love song. That is a romantic love song. That immediately takes me to the soundtrack for Twilight or Breaking Dawn or whatever. Yes. Oh, yes.
Very much romantic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another song that he did, were you going to say Put Your Records On?
Yes, Put Your Records On.
I love that he did that one.
Uh-huh. I feel like that matches him.
Very perfectly. Like healing love, self-love, but yeah, matches his vibe. Like I could see
it's
him
groovy.
Like, yeah, he's getting ready to this song in the morning. He's like kind of dancing around getting dressed, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jimin's, I love so many songs on Jimin's playlist. Like he did Easy On Me by Adele. Like that is giving self-love. That's giving healing love. All of Me, John Legend, I feel like one of the most romantic songs, you know, of the last decade. Yellow by Coldplay. That song, first of all, will forever make me think of Bethany, because when we first met, Coldplay was one of her favorite bands, and her favorite color is yellow, and I just can't listen to that song without thinking of you.
It's one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal song. I love that it's coming up on
It's truly a gorgeous love song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely
That's kind of a healing song too.
I think so too. And then, but he also has like Happy by Pharrell Williams, like such an upbeat song. Or and then like by the end of the playlist we go to outro Love Is Not Over. Oh. That is like one of the most painful like unrequited love songs of all
time. Tear my heart out.
Yes. So, I
gosh.
Mean,
yeah.
So good. Yeah.
And then as we could expect with Taeyang, he has a lot of like oldie classic crooner music like Love by Nat King Cole. That song I will forever associate with The Parent Trap because it was in The Parent Trap. Yeah, that was probably one of the first times I heard that song ever. It's fantastic. He also has songs like Cheek to Cheek by Ella Fitzgerald. He has My Funny Valentine by Chet Baker. Man, Taeyang went through a whole Chet Baker phase. So I just feel like it's so fitting that he has it on here. What kind of surprised me a little bit to see from him that I'm just like, ooh, okay, Taeyang was Creep by Radiohead.
Yeah.
Which is a really great song, but like if you want to talk about like unrequited love, like I feel like that is it. Like
it suits it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. My gosh, I just noticed he also has I Put a Spell on You.
Oh, Nina Simone? Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes. That is also a very croony kind of song.
But then like from the flip side, he has I'm Yours by Jason Mraz, like very much romantic, cutesy, you know.
What Makes You Beautiful, One Direction. Yeah.
Yeah. Classic.
Yeah.
Throw me back to college days. Jungkook's might be my favorite one just because like his top two on the playlist, Die With a Smile and Birds of a Feather. Like these are songs that are like for me and Jeremy, like are probably right now like top two love songs on our playlist. And I think these are such powerful romantic love songs, you know, just about like epic love or like that love that sticks together. He has Never Let Go, his single, and Still With You. I love to see these come up on his playlist.
I'm so happy he put Still With You on here. I raved. I think we were going through, God, what episode was it? Was it their SoundCloud singles?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Still With You came up, or we were just talking about some of their solo work before, like Chapter Two. And Still With You is one of Jungkook's best songs.
So good.
Like, it's
so good.
So underrated, I feel like. Yeah.
Yeah.
He also put Soda Pop on here, which is just hilarious to me.
So like, funny I feel and like cute.
I feel like he maybe did that as a joke, but not a joke.
No, but it's so funny because, like, the first time I watched K-pop Demon Hunters and they start performing Soda Pop, I was like, if BTS were doing this, they would have me, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I would,
like, I yes. would be, my soul would be eaten for sure.
Yes.
He also has, like, See You Again, Wiz Khalifa, Charlie Puth, which I think is great because him and Charlie Puth collabed on Left and Right. Mm-hmm. Charlie Puth has written some other songs for BTS, and that's definitely, like, a nostalgic love song. Mm-hmm. You know, his playlist is so good. Yeah. I really enjoy it.
Did you
it.
Mention Magic Shop already?
Oh yeah, Magic Shop, that's fandom I love mean, right there.
That is fandom love, and that is Jungkook to the core. Like, we yeah. know he worked on that song and how special that song is to him. One of the things that we mentioned too going through these playlists is they put a lot of their, like, some of their older stuff, like Magic Shop, Being From Love Yourself Tear, and then also, like, a
First
lot of
love.
their solo songs from their BTS discography,
right.
So, like, First Love and Reflection and Trivia
Love.
Just Dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Trivia uh-huh. Just Dance. Yeah. Wow.
It was just, yeah.
It was nice
to see, because we love those songs so much. And then to see BTS themselves putting it on their own love song playlists that are, like, near and dear to them.
Definitely. I was just thinking, it's interesting RM didn't put Trivia Love on his playlist.
No, he didn't. He put Persona.
Yeah. Which Persona is definitely, like, introspective about who you are and who you want to be, mm-hmm. and, like, loving yourself for that.
But I agree. Like, you would think that he would, yeah.
Right, because I was thinking Trivia Just Dance on J-Hope's, but I just said Trivia Love out of nowhere because that's yeah. just where my mind went. But, yeah, I do think that these playlists, I really believe that these were made by each individual member, that they curated them. Absolutely mm-hmm. enjoy that the songs that they chose to include from, like, their own or BTS's discography seems so purposeful. And then the songs that they included from other artists encompass different types of love, but also mm-hmm. each member's own individual style. Like, I think Taeyang's is a really great representation of that, where he has so many oldies, so many, like, kind of crooner, yeah. you know? Mm-hmm. And the other more modern songs are peppered in, but, like, it wouldn't be Taeyang if it didn't have those oldies on there, so.
Absolutely, yeah.
I thought yeah. this was a really neat idea, the continuation of, like, this is my love song, and, like, for them to share their own love song connection or selections mm-hmm. after asking us what ours are.
Yeah, I do too. Like, they're participating in it as well. Like, they're doing right. it alongside us. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we should all make our own playlist, like Kayla's love song selections, you know, and
yeah,
I'm sure people are already
idea.
Doing that on, like, Spotify or something.
Yeah.
Another thing that BTS did for Valentine's Day was a pop-up event in LA and London where they gave away roses. And I just want to say, we got a lot of our information here from an article from Christine Therese, who is an iconic. So we'll link her article here from her Substack in the description, because there was a lot of great firsthand photos. She went to the event. She talked to people that were organizing the event there. And mm-hmm. we got to see, like, different ARMY photos of them getting their roses. But in both LA and in London, they had huge, like, ivy green walls with over 6,000 red roses. Like, they were supposed to have minimum 6,000, but when Christine talked to the event coordinators, they were like, oh yeah, there's more than 6,000 there. Like,
wow.
Yeah, and they were installed in these locations where fans could go and pick up a rose, and they kind of, you know, wove through the line, and when they got up there, the rose wall was lined with red velvet ropes, just making it feel super purposeful, intentional, and mm-hmm. staffers were running the event at a nearby table where you could, after you picked your rose, you could go and get your rose wrapped up in a white paper, and they would, like, wrap it with a sticker that says, what is your love song? And then you're given this little card that had a QR code to send them to that website that Bethany talked about earlier, where they, you know, we could share what our love song is, and it made us, like, a little photo that we could post on Instagram for it. I heard that they were supposed to get, like, little hidden messages from the roses too, but I didn't see anything about that in her article, but that's what was mm-hmm. going on, like, going around online about this event. Mm-hmm. I just think that it's really sweet that BTS are spoiling ARMY with like roses on Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. They're like, we love you. Let's share your love, you know, share our love with you. Come get a rose. And it was so fun to see all of the ARMY that got to get one and experience that together.
So beautiful and moving. I loved seeing all of the compilations of ARMYs going and getting their roses with their friends and taking pictures together with their like single red rose. It was just really beautiful. And it's just one of those like timeless love gestures of like giving a red rose to express love. And it just, yeah, it was meaningful. I also thought it was funny seeing ARMYs who were not in LA and London joking about like being jealous, like, oh, how cute, you know, you got a rose from BTS.
Yeah.
I'm not jealous, right?
I also just thought about that. I know it's like red roses typical for Valentine's Day, but do you remember the Boy With Love music video from their school mm-hmm. love affair where they were like fighting over that one girl and they give her a red rose in the gym? Mm-hmm. There's like all those shots of each member like extending a singular red rose to her. And it's like BTS giving us a red rose like that. And that song's about love and they're talking about love.
After all this time.
After all this time.
They're still showing up.
Since 2014. Yeah.
The love for ARMY has never wavered.
Never, not once. Yeah.
All right. So let's just kind of recap some of the promotions that we were talking about here. Just common themes that we found to be interesting. One of them was silence. There's so many directions that they could take with this theme of silence. Like, is it a song title? Is it just there's going to be some silence and some tracks? Are there themes about silence? Like, I always think of like the quote, like, silence is golden, or just like silence can be louder than words, like things like that. So I'm curious, just, I don't know. Like, I also found it interesting on the playlist that we had BTS's music you could hear, but the other songs were silent. So is it like, are they just like honing us in on BTS's music right now? Like, that's where we need to be focusing. Was it like some subliminal messaging? I don't know.
Yeah, right. The subliminal messaging of the law of assumption. But also, okay, so the first time that I went to that playlist with all the silent songs, I had songs on there that were just like 10 minutes of silence, you know, like clearly they wanted like this intentional silence. And it, which makes me think it's not just about silencing other artists for BTS, like blocking everyone else out. It makes me feel like there's going to be more on this, like a song that is titled Silence or Silent or, you know, something like that, or some sort of theme around that, I feel like would make sense. But maybe it's reaching. But it just seems so out of place.
I think there's a lot that they could work with that. Yeah. Like, I'm just thinking, like, there's other songs that have, like, I think of, like, Silent Night, you know? Like, I just, the moment of reflection in silence. Like, solidarity, things like that could be coming up in some of the themes
for
a song. I think it would be so cool for them to do that. I think I would, like, flip my shit if there's a song about silence on the album. Like, I think that would be so cool. We can't get over this 58 seconds thing. I don't know why. Like, why 58 seconds on this silent playlist? Why not just 1 minute? 1 minute. So is that number going to be coming up again? 58? 7 is in between 5 and 8? I don't know.
Ooh. I wonder.
I'm not going to say that other, what else is in between 5 and 8?
6, 7. So I think 6, 7 is dead now. Like, at least with my middle schoolers, it's dead. It was so funny whenever I do it now, like, they cringe so hard and they, like, glare at me. because, like, some of them were still saying it right at the beginning of 2026, and then others were, like, adamant that it would die at the end of 2025. And now, like, if I throw it in there, there's, like, one holdout. There's, like, one kid that's like, oh, yeah, 6, 7. Like, they'll still go crazy
for
it. But Jeremy and I were, like, at Chick-fil-A a couple days ago, and there was this kid, like probably like a third grader, and in like the ordering line, and he was just spamming 6, 7. He was doing the gritty and saying 6, 7 just over, like he was stuck in a loop.
I was like, goodness,
well, not dead for everybody. But anyways, we'll see what's up with the 58 seconds. I don't know why I particularly fixated on that. Like, it just seems, why not just 1 minute is my main question. You know,
Yeah.
We also really feel like, just based on what we're getting here on these different playlists, even on the members' love song selections playlist, so many different genres represented. We feel like this album is going to have a variety of genres. RM and Yoongi have both told us in Lives and in the GQ article that the album's different and uses genres they haven't delved into before. We know that they did this big album creation writing camp where they got to handpick different songwriters and producers to work with that could definitely expose them to other song types. We've seen over the months of them creating this album that, like, on their Instagram, they're all posting different songs on their Instagram stories. They might, like, we saw multiple members posting the same song on an Instagram story as if they one of them had listened to it and they were all sharing it around. We know that each of the members, like, individual styles are going to be represented. There was one thing in the GQ article that said when they were in the studio, sometimes they would just do like two or three members in different rooms with different writers and producers. And then maybe like halfway through, after like an hour or so, they would just swap. And so the members would switch up on who was in the different studio rooms working on that specific song. And then they'd like swap the groups up. So they'd do totally random groups, different people working on it, which I think, again, is going to give us different styles, different genre. Right now, cool. We're like, yeah, it, I think
that
that's
just
such a cool way to approach it. It makes me think of just something that is true in education, which is when you can do random groupings with students, the outcome is exponentially better than if they do it on their own or with a group that they're used to working with. And when
it's just
you
like
mix
always
up
creating
those
like
groups,
a fresh perspective,
exactly.
Like creating a lot of like different like new ideas and sparks. When you have so much like just like new minds refreshing, you know, switching up topics, like
definitely
a lot
we
of
also,
great can come from that.
Yeah, I think so too. And I also wonder if they'll use like really specific or obscure samples in this album. I feel like that's very classic BTS. Like I think back to HYH and Waylon 52, that high pitched repeated sample that P-Dawg used, which made that song so iconic and so catchy. That's something that I feel like is like a watermark of BTS's music. And with them having all of these different influences or potentially, you know, on these different Spotify playlists that, you know, like the silent playlist that we had, there were very few songs that weren't silent, you know, and are those songs samples, songs that they're going to sample for their, you know, because they were a lot of them that weren't silent were instrumentals. Like the Arirang instrumental that I had, or I had a couple like Latin vibe songs that were instrumentals that some of them were silent, some of them weren't. So I just
that
wonder
would be
if
so
they were
neat to see them if they're sampled or resurfaced in the actual album. That to see that there was even more intention with some of the song selection. Yeah.
We'll see.
Very cool. Yeah. I hope to see a lot of the sampling too. Like creating a new like iconic sample that stands out just like Waylon 52 does.
Yeah. That'd be so cool.
Something else we've seen a lot of too is just red and white. Like we've seen it. It's a part of the like icon that Jungkook made for Arirang the album. And with all of this promotion around Valentine's Day and the album just having the red and white and the banners and things, it just really is making us feel like love has potentially is going to be a very heavy theme on this album, or at least the hit track. And we talked a little bit too about how Arirang in and itself is about love. So it just really makes sense to see them taking this route and doing a lot of promotion in this way. The colors of red and white originally took me to their Oh Are You Late To album, which again, like maybe they do have some of that speckling of their older days, like the classic nostalgic BTS that we know, but creating it anew and fresh and having themes of love on this album and having red and white presented in that way, because love is heavily influenced on the album. Yeah, a big theme. So we'll see. Overall, like all of this promotion has been extremely clever and creative, and the way that it's gotten listener engagement and participation before the album has even dropped. Like we're all hopping on Spotify and engaging with BTS's music again, listening to Spring Day, going and listening to Trivia Love or Trivia Just Dance and all of that. Like, it's just really built up a lot of hype and also mystic around the album. Like, we have gotten what seems to be clues at what we're gonna see on the album, but there's just, it's so vague and broad at this point that we could go any direction with it, and we love to theorize. So it's been a lot of fun on ARMY's end to be participating, sharing our love songs that we really enjoy, discussing some of these songs on the playlist, or like, ooh, what silent tracks did you have? What could it mean? You know, it's just created a lot of engagement for the fandom, a lot of excitement and anticipation for the album. It just makes me think that, like, how they went about promoting this album before its release date in March. Like, even though it has been Valentine's Day, I think it's very doubtful that they just went this whole love route because of Valentine's Day. I think they already have the themes of love on the album and saw Valentine's Day as like an opportunity. Oh, like, hey, how about we just go ahead and use that to our advantage, that it just so happens to be within this promotional time frame. Like, it even adds more mystic to it, you know. It's just, I think Valentine's Day was conveniently there for them.
Yes, definitely.
To do this promotion. So yeah, and this has been so much fun. All of this promotion really is making me think back to, like, the Butter promotions and talking a lot about, like, the pop art that came with it and the hour-long Butter melting live stream that we all watched. Like, that's instead of just staring at a melting stick of butter for an hour, we've been talking about our favorite love songs of all time. Like, it's just a really clever, clever way. And it's been enjoyable. I'm really so excited for the album.
I can't wait to get even more promo. I can't wait to make some more sense of these different theories that we've been having and all of these little breadcrumbs, clues of what the album might shape up to be based on what they're showing us right now. Either way, like you were saying, it has been so fun to have that engagement, not only with BTS, but with ARMY, and see what everybody's talking about and how we're all being able to get involved in it already. It's been such a blast. Definitely something that we've missed. So it's felt really good to be able to get into it. We hope that you all enjoyed this episode and us talking about what is your love song, everything to do with it. And of course, the GQ article, could not just breeze past that. Had to get into that for sure. We'll put links for everything that we mentioned here in the description. And of course, for everything else that's usually there.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. And thanks for stanning BTS.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.